Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Two bits of encouraging news about the return of college football, potentially, for the Pac-12 and right here in the state of Oregon. Mentioned in Hot and Cool, Governor Brown's office responding to a question about the reopening of campuses. The Ducks and Beavs will not be at a competitive disadvantage, according to the Oregonian. Governor Brown releasing a statement via her, chief of staff, I think it is, where she said, or this the communications director said, anyone who's seen Governor Brown in the stands at Ducks games knows she's a huge fan and supporter of Oregon athletes. She looks forward to watching them crush the competition in the Pac-12 and throughout the NCAA this season. We will make sure they are not at any competitive disadvantage due to the current situation. This is an incredibly difficult time for all of Oregon's athletes, from professional level down to youth sports and teams. And we want to see the day when Oregon's college athletes can take the field again. The decisions their office makes regarding COVID-19 are being guided by science and health outcomes. They're active in those conversations with university leaders to determine what additional steps may be taken so that on-campus facilities can open in a safe and secure fashion to protect the health and safety of athletes, coaches, and university communities.
Okay, so it didn't tell me what any of that means.
Well,
it sounds like a bunch of it. It's great political talk, but what are the parameters? Are you still deciding? Are you wait? I feel like you're being very careful, which is my, and it's positivity. I will say that. But there's no real details of what will be or what won't be. There wasn't a statement that said we will have college sports. There was just competitive disadvantage. What the heck does that mean? Well, does that mean that potentially you will have allow them to work out at their facilities, or you will allow them to be a certain spot? You will allow all these other parameters. I mean, it's very vague. But of course, at this point in time, everything seems to be vague.
Mm-hmm. But if you take that statement right there, which is the Oregon and Oregon State won't be at a competitive disadvantage to the rest of the Pac-12.
Well, that's ridiculous, but they all will be in a competitive disadvantage. You mean to tell me Why? That the teams that are going to start in June 1st or June 5th, if they start training and have a month ahead, then what does that mean? Does it mean you'll just allow them to come back? That's kind of the specifics I would have loved to hear.
Well, but you can't do that without guidance from the Pac-12, and you have to take that statement there in conjunction with what Larry Scott said over the weekend, which is, you know, he said on CNN in an interview that he feels these student athletes, they're safer on campus than they are on their own, right? And he's saying, you know, in most cases, we feel student athletes will be in a safer position, a healthier position, if they can have access to the world-class health, medical supervision support that they can get on their campuses. And if there are issues with the virus, to have access to these world-class medical centers that we have. Now, he's saying that later this week, the Pac-12 will vote. And this is the question. The Pac-12, what do they call it? They have a stupid name for the presidents and chancellors of the universities.
Larry Scott's not in charge of whether players and athletes return to their universities.
But
he's not in charge of that. Those are college presidents and states.
I know, but they're going to have that vote this week. Now, do we feel that with Larry Scott having that sway and saying, we feel that they're safer on campus.
Of course they are.
They're going to vote at the end of the week, and we already have June 1 is the date for the SEC. The SEC is allowing their athletes to return June 1. The Big 12 has voted June 15th is the date that their athletes can return to campus. Okay. And when you take that competitive disadvantage comment from Governor Brown, it is if the presidents and chancellors vote this week, which they're set to have a return to campus, that Oregon and Oregon State will be allowed to do so. They're athletes.
Okay, so let's play the fun game of what if they don't? What if it's not unanimous? What if they choose not to? And they say, nope, we're not going to do that. Nope, we're not going to do that. And it gets to June 15th, and then there is a competitive disadvantage.
What is starting to come out from Larry Scott's comments from the state of Arizona's reopening?
I don't have that answer.
But you have, no, you don't have the definitive answer, but you, all we can go on is a feeling right now when you hear, you know, Larry Scott was so guarded a month ago on this.
Oh, of course.
And now you see other conferences are doing it. We know the Pac-12 just doesn't want to be the first one to jump on board. Okay. You have a state that is open in Arizona, and then you're starting to see Governor Newsom. He came out and said, you know, return to sports is something that we need. The loosening after a freak out a couple of weeks ago about the California schools, you know, we're starting to see that get tampered down and say, look, hey, a return is actually something that we can handle now.
No, I know.
From a lot of state leaders. We just got to the breadcrumbs are being laid out there. And if you kind of connect the dots and follow the trail, it is that signs are pointing to the Pac-12 presidents and chancellors voting to allow at some point in June a return for athletes.
Well, of course they're going to have to because they're financially tied to all of this, and that's not, in the end, that's kind of what the most important part about that. We've had every guest we've had on from outside the Pac-12 has made every comment regarding how the conference is dead and that they're last. Well, in this decision, if they choose to be last, which is fine if you want to do that, then that's, I feel like the Pac-12 is going to let all these other conferences do all this other stuff, see how it works, and the carefulness and being, I guess it would be very guarded in what they do. I can understand that mindset, but it's not going to help you be successful in college football. It's going to be helpful in watching whether somebody succeeds or fails. But I feel like the Pac-12 is waiting around to see if somebody fails or not, waiting to see if the SEC just screws up or if the Big 12 just takes all this stuff. Or maybe there are a lot of people waiting for everyone to fail or something to go wrong again. I don't know what the right answer is. None of us really do. We do know we need athletics and we need sports and we need regular business to come back when it comes to these college things, or these whole schools are going to just go, they're just going to implode. There's not going to be anything anymore. There's nothing. So you have to come back. Waiting though, sometimes it might be the right choice. Just depends on how you look at it.
And I take a look at kind of, you know, if you want to go even further into the local level, the OSAA release their guidelines of kind of what a return looks like. And if your county is in phase one, which I think we're up to 32 of the 36 or 34 of the 36 counties, they are back to phase one. Once the academic school year ends, then it's basically if your county is in phase one, you can do the limited social distance workouts, right? So why would, you know, if Lane and Benton County, which is where Oregon and Oregon State are,
right. Yeah.
You know, you would think that they would be allowed to do the same type of thing, you know, because why would it be so much different as once the academic calendar is over, you know, the campus is closed until then allowing them to go and move forward.
Here's probably what we know if Larry Scott.
These are good signs.
Yeah, no, they're all good signs. They're all good signs. What does that mean? What does social distancing workouts mean? Your idea of one in a closed environment is different than mine, and different coaches, different scenarios, different stuff. It's going to be hard to police all this stuff eventually. Getting back to having those sports will be massive. It's so critical for all those things, especially for all these environments and all the communities and all the schools, everything. People need that. They need to be able to have that activity and get back into what is a new normal. I use those terms, or But sports is part of our fabric. It's part of our landscape.
Mm-hmm. And like, do you see what the Big 12 is doing with their, with they're phasing in and into all athletes to return? So June 15th is when the football players are going to be allowed back on campus. And then, you know, they're going to wait a couple of weeks, and then they're going to have another phase where they're going to allow like three or four other sports, probably your fall sports like cross country and soccer, volleyball to come back. And then their third phase will be all of the other athletes will be able to come back. And, you know, they are kind of, there is this cautious way of doing it and what that will look like. I mean, my goodness, we know that there's resources to wipe down everything at the college level. You know, we know they have the resources to do that in the smaller groups.
Okay, are you just going to start to say the youth level and there's no way to stop it?
What do you mean? What?
We know that colleges that have tons of money and tons of stuff that they're going to Do they have the resources to be able to stop all this and make masks and make sure all these athletes are clean and healthy? And do they have all these products? No. Everybody's learning something by the second. And youth programs and all these other things are learning something by the second. Nobody has all the resources and the funding to be able to do all this perfectly. It's impossible.
Well, I'm talking the college football. If you have a $50 million budget for your college football program,
you'd be surprised how fast that drains.
But you're going to have to make some cuts elsewhere in order to make sure that you can have those parameters in place. You know, but what I'm talking about, the resources being there, yeah, you know, you might not have as many uniforms this year, but guess what? You're going to have a football season because you're going to be able to work out because you're going to take those precautions that are going to be mandated. That's what I'm saying by the resources. Cuts going to be have to made somewhere else? Absolutely they will. But the resources are there, and I know that money goes fast. But at the highest college level, they got the money to make sure that they can sanitize all of the workout equipment after each use.
Sure. I find it very difficult to be perfect in this. And that's maybe that's the aspect is there's got to be a little bit of risk left. There has to be.
Well, and I think there is that idea that it's not going to be perfect because nobody knows the answers to
110%.
You know,
I don't know.
You don't know. So perfection is something, and I think that is one of the keys from the pro sports leagues that are coming out, and it's trickling down, is, hey, we can't be 100% foolproof. And, you know, if there is a positive test or a couple positive tests, that shouldn't shut us down completely. And I think that is trickling down to the collegiate levels as well, is that, hey, there is a risk that's going to be have to be made here. We'll find out if everybody's willing to do it. And that's going to be the other one. How many parents do you think are going to be like, no, my kid's just not going?
Some, but this is, but there'll be also another 100 lined up to say, let's go.
You're dang right they will. So a little bit of optimism from the Pac-12 and Governor Brown here over the weekend as a potential vote for the Pac-12 to a plan of action for a return is expected this week. Hey, Seahawks made a move over the weekend, and could it be the only one left? Here's Buck with SportsCenter.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.